Welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, and welcome back to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's regular podcast. I am your co-host, Craig Israel, and I'm here with my occasional co-host, Eric Krylo.
A great, great title. Occasional or backup. I'll take backup co-host as well.
So in the studio with us, we have two other Thunder Tech team members, John DeGatta, front-end developer, UX specialist.
Hello.
And Alex Arnold, application developer.
Hey, what's up?
And so you guys are here not to talk about anything you do for Thunder Tech, but to talk about the craze that's sweeping the nation, Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah.
So, John, you wrote a blog post about this recently that we posted, talking about not only how this game is breaking all download records and people are playing it like crazy, but the implications for marketers and businesses too, right? How they can use it. So before we jump into it, for people like me of a certain age who kind of miss the whole Pokemon thing, give us a brief overview of what is Pokemon Go.
So Pokemon Go is a game created by a company called Niantic. It's essentially an augmented reality game, which means it's a digital game that incorporates the real world locations in it. And how it works is players will walk around to the real world and catch Pokemon. They'll pop up on their screen, they'll tap on them, and they'll throw a Pokeball digitally at the Pokemon to catch them. And then the player can do different things like evolve the Pokemon, or they can train them, make them more powerful, and ultimately you can then go to what are called gyms, and these are real-world locations at points of interest, and you can go and battle other players at these locations.
So the goal at the end of the day is to catch them all, if I'm right.
Right, yeah. The goal is to catch them all. I think they have the original 150. They're not all in the game yet. Most of them are. But there's different generations of Pokemon, and the current game right now has just the original ones.
So Pokemon's nothing new, of course, right? It's been around for a long time, and it's what? Cartoons, card games, final figures.
There were movies.
Movies.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, really popular in the 90s. When I was a kid, I went to couple movies, I played the card games, I played the video games. It was my childhood, pretty much.
Do you know the theme song? I think that's the real question.
I'm not going to sing the theme song.
Do you know the theme song?
But you could,
yeah.
Right?
I guess I could, yeah.
So what's making this so popular? I mean, this isn't the first augmented reality game you can play with your phone. This isn't the first like team-based thing where you're, you know, capturing areas. So what is it about Pokemon that has made it, you know, explode in the way that other games haven't?
Well, I think a big part of it is the community aspect of it. You know, it brings a lot of people together because there are, you know, community locations that people go to and they hang out and they play the game. And, you know, for I think the age group of people that are playing it are around our age group, which is like 20-something-year-olds.
Yes, that's my age group, 20-some. Thank
John
you.
And I should say. So, you know, those...
I'm a millennial as well. Let's not date me, please. I know I'm not here often, but I'm still amongst you youngsters.
Sorry, keep going.
All right. So, so I think, you know, it brings a lot of people together. And, you know, it's, like John said, it's part of our childhood. So, you know, we're all really excited for this to be back and to be in the real world, part of an augmented reality game. So, you know, people are going out, they're hanging out and playing Pokemon Go together.
It definitely makes sense, you know, what Alex is saying. I personally don't play it, but I have seen groups of folks doing this, and especially families. And I think that, you know, for some of us, myself not included, but for some that may have children, I think this is an opportunity for them to sort of share part of their past with their children as well. And Craig, we've talked about that before on previous podcasts, how that sort of nostalgia-ishness of things can often bring not only people together, but even families as well, as you're able to share that from one generation to the next.
I mean, it really seems like Pokemon Go is the perfect storm of all of these elements. It has that nostalgia factor. It has, I also don't play, but It's got fun, interactive gameplay. And what's gotten the most press, of course, is that it's driving people outside, right? People that, gamers who rightly or wrongly, are stereotyped as sitting in their basement playing their console games all day long. They're actually, they got to go out into the real world and, you know, congregate at churches and, landmarks and other places where there's Pokestops and Pokelures and Pokeballs. I'm a little out of my depth, if I'm being honest. But it is. It's cool. I mean, I've even seen this around my neighborhood. I saw this weird lineup of, thug, little kid, pimply nerd, all walking together around my neighborhood. And I'm like, what the hell am I even seeing? Why would these people be together? But then, you know, they all got their phones out, so they're trying to catch Pokemon.
They're either playing an online game, or this is a really bad 80s movie. You know, I always had those collections of just the wrong side of the track kid, and then you had the normal kid.
That's right. They were looking for treasure.
Yeah. It really is a culmination of nostalgia with really addicting gameplay and community. And when you bring those together, it's a really fun experience.
So as part of the community, there's three, cults?
Teams.
Okay, teams.
Called teams, yeah.
So when you get to a certain point, you have to align yourself with a certain cult leader. That's how that works?
When you hit level 5, you get to choose a team. You can only choose a team once, so it's a big decision for a player.
So you can't drop out?
You can't leave the team. You can't change later, at least yet in the game. At least they don't allow you yet in the game to do that.
So what team are you?
I'm Team Instinct, which is yellow.
And Alex?
I'm the red team, which is Team Valor.
All right, so what drove you to pick your teams?
Well, I didn't really look up anything about the teams before I made my decision. I kind of just looked at the descriptions they give you in game, which Instinct is based off of, the Pokemon's instincts. You rely on instinct to do your battling, as opposed to brute force, which is kind of like Valor's ideology, and Mystic is kind of using the Pokemon's strengths and weaknesses to defeat your enemy. So it's kind of relying on instincts, which I thought was a really cool concept.
In other words, yellow is your favorite color.
Oh, yeah.
See, red is mine.
Yellow is fantastic.
Well, and I feel like that has to be a part of it, because, the makers of Pokemon Go could have easily said, all right, what color feels the most instinctual? No. They chose these primary colors that would appeal to people's visual, I guess, ness.
Yeah. Well, in addition to that, yellow is electric, red is fire, and blue is water. And
all right, well, that makes sense.
The original three games.
Yeah, the original three games, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow.
All right, well, makes sense.
So there is some history behind those colors as well, but yeah.
I think
maybe it's a coincidence.
When I start playing, I want to be Team Hufflepuff. Would that be, I think that'd be all right?
Sure, yeah. There is rumor that there's a Harry Potter Go, in the works. The same kind of concept, the same kind of game, but a Harry Potter.
Oh, sign me up.
Where you're throwing killing curses at other people.
I don't know how it would
can't
work,
imagine that'd go wrong.
People walking around casting spells on stuff and other people and things. I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
So, all right. So this is a marketing podcast. So instead of just talking about this fun game, let's talk about the implication that it has on our customers, other businesses. So if I'm a business owner, why do I care about Pokemon Go?
So one of the biggest things that I've been seeing of businesses and how they're using Pokemon Go to further their marketing is by essentially you're just drawing people to your location is one of the biggest ways. And you can do that by using what's called a lure, and it's an in-game item that you place on a Pokestop.
So wait, let's back up. So the way the game works is that there are Pokemon randomly distributed around everywhere, right?
And you just
all over the world, and you just walk around and try to find them. So if you're a business owner, you might be lucky enough to have Pokemon at your front door.
You'd be lucky to have a Pokestop near your location. A Pokestop is just a place that you can go to stock up on supplies. A player would go to get Pokeballs or to get potions to heal their Pokemon. They would go to these locations to get get items.
And that's set by the game.
Right, that's predefined.
Right, if I'm Starbucks, I can't say, hey, I want to pay you, game developer, to put a Pokestop in front of my store.
Yeah, I don't think right now they're doing it. I know the first instance of a business getting into the game is McDonald's in Japan. All McDonald's in Japan are Pokestops. And that was some kind of sponsored deal that they had with Niantic or whomever.
So talking about money, I mean, right now there's in-app purchases, right? That's how the company's really making its money on this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not through the selling of sponsorships or selling of Pokestops or anything.
Yeah, it's free to play.
It's free to play. Like 1,000 other apps you can download that it's free to play, but if you want to level up faster or get special powers or something, you can pay real money to do this stuff.
Yeah. You could essentially buy items to help you play the game longer and better.
Yeah. And so from what I read, this company, it's making money hand over fist on this, right? Because there's millions of users right now. And have you guys spent any real money on this game?
I have a little bit. It's hard not to. It's so tempting.
Did you spend like $500 to buy
Super
Pokeballs?
$15 total. Because I was just getting out there catching so many Pokemon, I needed to get more Pokeballs.
John,
yeah,
are you?
I haven't yet. I have been contemplating it. There's an in-game currency, and you have to buy the in-game currency with real money, and then you can spend the in-game currency on any of the items in the game. So you can also earn the in-game currency by holding a gym, by having a Pokemon in it. So I've been getting in-game currency through that method instead of spending my own money. I probably will. I think I still will. I like to support game developers, especially when it's a free-to-play game that I enjoy and that I'm playing. So I probably will spend some money on it. I don't know how much yet, but.
Well, it's no secret that this is the idea behind in-game purchases. Is you want to get folks hooked with the free gameplay,
sure.
And not make it impossible to proceed. Without getting these, but making it a little bit unattainable, so you do contemplate buying that. And in Alex's case, he already has purchased something. John, it sounds like you're on your way to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is exactly what those in-game developers want. And I think the challenge for them is going to be, how do you evolve it? Because obviously businesses, what we talked about before, they're going to be able to sort of capitalize off of this. But how does the game itself evolve in order not only to keep people interested, but I think more of these sort of in-game purchases. So what have you guys, other things that you've seen that you may not be ready to proceed with, but sort of other ways to engage with the game that you think moving forward can make a difference?
Well, I think to keep people into the game, the company and the developers of it are going to have to stay involved, and they're going to have to make updates to the game, to keep people interested. And I think that the best way to do that is to introduce more community activity, get people together to interact with each other, and if they do that, then people will continue to play and they'll continue to spend money, and hopefully it just keeps going from there,
And you bring up an interesting point, and we had this discussion before, but there's no end to the game, right? There's no like, okay, you won the game, it's over. It continues. It's an ongoing, growing kind of experience. So it's, unless they continue to evolve the game, it'll eventually get old or get boring, and people will stop playing it. So they have to, in order to succeed, in order to keep making money.
I think a big part of that, circling all the way back around, is how businesses then adapt to this. And if the developers and the creators see that businesses are latching on and are using this as a marketing tool, I think that incentivizes them to do even more of that and to get more involvement happening.
Yeah, so we started to talk about that. What can businesses do right now to get more involved with Pokemon or to leverage Pokemon to their own benefit? I mean, you started talking, John, that they can drop a lure like in front of their store, and that's going to draw people to the location.
So the lure essentially draws Pokemon to a Pokestop for 30 minutes. So a business, let's say they have a Pokestop nearby or at their location, they can have an event, host an event, and promote it on social media, and say, hey, we're having this event. Come down here between 10 and 4, and we'll have a lure on our Pokestop for for the duration of that time. And you'll get players coming and congregating at your location, just hanging out. If you sell coffee or make lunch food or whatever, you know, you're going to have sales because people are just going to hang out there. They're going to be in the area. So it's a great way to draw people to your location and a different way to stay relevant and to stay involved.
Yeah, so the idea right now is that you, as a business, you can't directly impact where Pokemons are or where Pokestops are, but you can make yourself available, right? Saying, right. I am right here where you're going to be anyways, so maybe here's a dollar off, coffee for Team Mystic players,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a great way to get even further into it is by making it personal, showing that you understand the game and showing that you support players of the game is by creating these incentives that are targeted to aspects of the game. So you can have different incentives for players who are a higher rank than other players or offering something for, like you said, one team over another. That's a great way of doing that.
So let's say you're a small business, like a bagel place. What would you guys recommend right now if I want to get involved, I want to take advantage of all these people I see with their phones out walking past my store every day? What's an easy way to capture some of these people?
Well, I think what a lot of businesses should do is apply for their location to be a Pokestop, which is a system that the company has. You can request that your location is a Pokestop or a Pokegym. And I know that we've done that here at ThunderTech, but we haven't gotten a response yet.
They're pretty overwhelmed with requests. I mean, you've got legit requests, and then you've got a bunch of people who are putting their own home address just to try and get something at their house so that they don't have to go out as much.
Yeah.
So what's the range of like a Pokestop? How close do you have to be? I mean, you're talking like feet or yards?
Yeah, talking feet.
I want to say 70 feet or something like that. The latest update changed it slightly to what the range. It's a radius around your current location.
All right, so I can't be Subway and say the Pokestop is right at the ordering window within my restaurant and you have to be there to get the latest Bulbasaur.
No, like you could be on the street,
yeah.
Standing on the street and then have it reach out to businesses that are along that street.
But if people are hanging out outside your business, then they're probably going to, you know, get hungry and come in and get a sub.
Yeah, so. I mean, I have.
I've
been playing a lot, walking a lot. You get thirsty, you get a drink, you know, or get food, get lunch. So it's a really great way, yeah.
So along those lines, do you, or let's say you're a business, are you able to sort of dictate which Pokemon you want at your stop? So like, let's say for instance that there are two rare ones, they're like, I don't know, like the Dinglebear and like the Borasaur. Like, let's say that those are two of the rarest. Are you able to say I want these at my stop?
No. What Pokemon show up at the stop are completely random. There's no way to control that whatsoever.
And do they change? Like if I have a Pokemon in front of my store today, like next week, is it going to disappear?
Yeah, they change. Like, I want to say that each Pokemon has a timer of different lengths. I believe like it's about 10 minutes. So if you go to a spot and get a Pokemon and tell me about it, I might have a couple minutes to get there. I might have 30 seconds. I might have, you know, 9 minutes. You don't know. There was a third-party app called Pokevision that allowed you to see the location of Pokemon anywhere in the world and their timers. And actually, I think it was just yesterday or 2 days ago, they shut down the third party.
Man shut it down.
Well, Niantic said that they didn't like it and that it was ruining the experience. And out of respect, Pokevision essentially turned off.
I mean, that's people gaming the system, right? And yeah. I mean, I would expect that to happen.
Well, the interesting thing about that is the way you find Pokemon in the game is there's a little radar, and you can see where what Pokemon are near you. And when the game first launched, there was a system with these steps. 3 steps, 2 steps, 1 step. If it's 1 step, it's closer. 3 steps, it's further. And you'd be walking around, and the steps by each Pokemon would change, indicating you're getting closer or further away. And that there was actually a bug in that, and it stopped working. And all Pokemon were three steps away, no matter how far you were. So people started going to these third parties to rely on finding Pokemon. And now they removed that feature. There's no more steps. So it literally just says, there's a Pokemon near you. And then now you can't use any of these third parties. So right now in the community, a lot of people are upset. Niantic put out a release saying that they're updating it and they're going to have a feature.
So what do you do right now? You just wander around the neighborhood until you...
Yeah, pretty much. You just wander around, hopefully
you're
going the right way.
This seems like a conspiracy to make people exercise against their will.
Is Michelle Obama hiding somewhere? She wearing like a Pokemon head or something? You know, it makes you think, though, because as I think anyone listening to this, all seven of you, when you listen to the way John describes the game, you could pull bits and pieces. It's marketing. The way that they built this game has so many marketing cues, it's ridiculous. And even just knowing, the Pokemon is here for a limited time, and it's this Pokemon, so get here before he dies. Is that what happens? Do they die when...
They just go away. They just... they don't die.
Is the landscape littered with virtual Pokecorps?
Well, we have to save them.
We just don't need a Pokemon genocide. We don't need anything like that.
But I mean, it's as much as the developers, I'm sure, were trying to create a fun, engaging game. I mean, it's all about money, right? At the end of the day, that's why in-app purchases exist. And I would fully expect that at some point there's going to be a mechanism for, I mean, there's already a mechanism for making my store, my location, Pokestop, but you know, I'm sure there'll be more partnerships, more things where they can monetize this, right? Don't want to ruin it for you kids, but you know, games like this are really about taking your money, right? Not just giving you a fun experience.
Well, that's the best kind of game is the one where it doesn't feel like they're taking the money. It feels like I'm spending something that's worth spending on.
Right.
So that's really the...
Well said, John.
Well, I think, you said it when we were talking before this, John. It's entertainment. And at the end of the day, I mean, you'd spend $15 to $20 to go to a concert, or maybe not a concert, unless you're going to, like, the ragtime jazz concert or something for $20.
Oh, I love banjos.
But you could do a movie. You could probably do a movie for $20. So I guess, in essence, it is just entertainment anyways. I think it's just a matter of how obvious it is that they're trying to take your...
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty mindless, but I find it no more mindless than flipping through Netflix, looking for something to watch, or any other thing you do to entertain yourself. And this rightfully has gotten a lot of press for getting people out in the real world, walking around. I keep on Facebook every day. I read stories about people who are talking to folks that they otherwise would never have a reason to talk to. So, it's a lot of haters on Pokemon Go, but I kind of don't get it. Right? I mean, I don't play. But I don't malign you guys for playing. I mean, what do I care?
Yeah. It could be worse. Could be playing Doodle Jump.
All right, so final thoughts, Pokemon Go?
It's fantastic. It's a great game.
All right, so that's Thundercast for this week. As always, if you like what you heard, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. If you want to listen to any of our back episodes, you can go to thundertech.com/podcast, and we have our entire library. Special thanks to John and Alex coming in, educating Eric and I about the Pokemon Go craze. Until next time, thanks for listening.